Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to look in verse 11. And as I was seeking the Lord, I woke up with these words in my heart: the pursuit of God. Amen. Are you guys ready to pursue God? Amen. Is there more in God that you can experience? Is there more in God that you can have? We don't have to have more of God. He's already given us everything, but there are things that we can go deeper into. Amen? Are you ready to pursue God with me tonight? Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. He said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." He tells us in one sense to flee something, but then on the other side of the coin, he says, follow after righteousness. Now that word follow is the word pursue. You know, you're supposed to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. Did you know you're supposed to follow patience? Meekness. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He says, keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. How long are you supposed to pursue these things? Till Jesus comes back. All right? Now, I looked up the word pursuit, and I just got some words that mean the same thing. It means to chase. It means to search. It means to have an interest. It's to strive for something. And the Greek word is dioko. And it means to pursue or to ensue, to follow after, to press toward. Okay? Let me ask you these questions. I'm not looking for an answer. I just want you to think about these questions. Do you thirst after God? When someone is thirsty, when you're thirsty, what do? Do you sit here like this? Oh, I'm so thirsty. Oh, I'm just so thirsty. Now, you're not in the middle of a desert. When you're thirsty, what do? You get a drink. And you drink until that thirst is satisfied. Now, do we do that with God? Remember, these are just for thought. How thirsty are you for God? Well, Jesus invited us to come and drink, didn't he? Come and drink. Are you eager to understand and implement his ways? How many know that God's ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? But are we eager to understand and implement his ways? All right? It's all about pursuit. You know, are you filling yourself with more knowledge of God? Do you know more about, will you know more about God in 2 weeks than you did right now? Let me ask you this. Is there information available about God at your fingertips? Is there anything hindering you from learning more about God and his kingdom and his ways? The only thing that's stopping us from doing that is us. Amen? The only thing that's stopping me from doing that is me. Okay? Here in America, we don't have excuses as a shortage of information. Now, in some countries, I remember one time my brother-in-law. He's a missionary, been a missionary for about 35 plus years. And they had a program in China. They called it Donkeys for Jesus. And they would carry Bibles into China. They would smuggle Bibles, literally. They would hide them in their suitcase or whatever and get them into China, because they would go into places, there would be one Bible for 500 people. And that when that person would get a Bible, they would write it in every available space on them and then give it to someone else. And then they would memorize it, because it was so, it wasn't so abundant at that particular time. I'm sure it's a little bit more now, but at that particular time, I tell you what, when there's not much truth and you get a hold of it, it's important, it's valuable, it's like water. Amen? Amen? Okay? Do you want to share the love that God has for sinners? Do you want to share His love that He has for sinners? I mean, God loves sinners. That's what spurred Him to come from heaven to earth, didn't it? He came to seek and save that which was lost. Do we share His love for sinners? If we do, then our pursuit, because when Jesus was 12 years old, He said, I must be about my Father's business. Well, what's His business? His business is saving souls. His business is reaching the lost. Our pursuit of God, does it involve reaching out to the lost? That's His business. Just some things to think about. How hot is your desire for God? Is it on low? Is it on medium? Or is it on high? How hot is your desire for God? I mean, would people call you zealous? Would people call you a fanatic? How hot is your desire for God? It has to relate to pursuit, how we pursue God. Do you have a deep capacity for God or a shallow capacity for God? I mean, do you just try to get by with the bare minimum? Or do you go the extra mile? Some things to think about. We pursue God because He first put an urge within us that spurs us on in the pursuit. He made the first move. Before we were ever around, He came to where we are. And He spurs us on in the pursuit. He tells you, you can make it. He tells you to come on. Come, doesn't He? Oftentimes He said, come. When Peter was in the boat with the other disciples, and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. What did He say? Come. And then it was up to Peter to respond. He gave him the invitation, but someone in that boat had to come out and step out on the water. That's what I'm talking about. When we pursue God, we're getting out on the water. We're getting out into unknown, uncharted territory. I don't want you to settle for satisfaction. Just because we've learned some things, just because we know some things, that doesn't mean for us to stop. I don't want you to plateau. Amen. I want you to keep climbing, keep going higher, keep going deeper, keep going further. Don't be satisfied with mediocrity with God. A.W. Tozer said this. He actually wrote a book called The Pursuit of God. I didn't really base this on my thought of this came before I remembered that he wrote a book, but he said this. It is inherent in personality to be able to know other personalities. But full knowledge of one personality by another cannot be achieved in one encounter. It is only after long and loving mental intercourse that the full possibilities of both can be explored. How many know that you just can't encounter all of God at one time? But once you've tasted and found out that he is good, once you've tasted something and it is good, do you want it more? How many's ever had something that they like to eat? Have you ever had it only one time? Or do you try to get it as much as possible? Well, let me tell you something. God is good, and there is more of God to be had in us. Amen. There's more truth to walk in. There's more power to have flow through us. Amen. And it all has to do with how we pursue God, how we go after God, how we follow after him, how we move. You know, this word pursuit, it means that you cannot stand still. When you're pursuing something, you're not doing it at a standstill. You're either running after it or running towards it or going after it. You can't stand still pursuing God. You've got to be active. Why do we pursue God? The reason people pursue God is because we want to experience his pleasure and his goodness of his divine presence. It's okay to be a Jesus addict. You can be addicted to Jesus and you won't have a hangover. He won't make you sick. He won't make you lose anything. To be a Jesus addict is a good thing. The pursuit of God begins at the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, unless you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. But that's only the beginning. But it continues. God expects you to continue to grow until he comes again. We've got to keep growing until this corruption puts on incorruption. So I want you to, you are in a lifelong pursuit. The pursuit of God. It continues until you're promoted from earth to heaven. Because it's going to be a lot easier to grow in heaven. You won't have the flesh to contend with. Won't that be a day? Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. One thing that you can pursue is you can pursue divine rewards. You know, God's got some rewards. Philippians chapter 3. Did I say chapter 2? I meant to say chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 12. Now, the Apostle Paul, he was no intellectual slouch. In his day, he probably would have earned a doctorate degree. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, all right? And he could have rested on his laurels. You know, we've heard that phrase, I'm just going to rest on my laurels. I'm just going to coast through life on my experience. Listen, God did not equip you with, what do you call that drive in the car when you set it at the same speed? Cruise control, yes, I couldn't think of the word, thank you. God did not equip you with a cruise control where you can just set it at a certain speed and just coast and stay there. Uh-uh. God may need you to hit the gas sometimes, but then there are times where God may need you to slow up. So you're not equipped with a cruise control. You just can't set it and coast through life. And the Apostle Paul said this in verse 12 of chapter 3. He said, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But notice what he said. I follow after. If that I may apprehend, that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I want you to notice that even though Apostle Paul, he met Jesus, he was still following after. He was still pursuing the things of God. He could have said, well, I wrote half the New Testament. I don't have to do anything else. I'm just going to stop. No. See, that's where we miss it. We get comfortable. We get in this comfort zone, and things are going pretty good. We're experiencing the blessing of God. And you say, oh, I just want to stay here. Uh-uh. There's more. Because the move of God is like a river. Do you realize that you never enter the river the same place? Because the water's always moving. So just because you entered the river here, if you enter the river here again the next day, that's a different part of the river because the water's moving. It's fresh water going past there all the time. And that's the way it is with God. Notice what else he said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Doesn't sound to me like he just pulled up an easy chair and just quit doing, even though he had accomplished so many things. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul was continually reaching for things before him. He was continually reaching for truth. He would go into areas where the gospel was never preached, and he would go and preach the gospel, and he would go and lay a foundation. He described himself as a master builder. And he said, I never lay a foundation where someone else has laid a foundation. He was a pioneer. He went to areas and he preached the gospel. And when he preached the gospel, people would get saved. And he would set up, they would set up a church and he would go to the next area. And he would preach the gospel and people would respond and a church would be established. And then he'd go to the next area because that's actually what an apostle does. An apostle is one who sent, who establishes works. Notice what he said. I press toward the mark for the prize. There is a prize in God. There is a reward in God. You can pursue rewards because our God is a rewarder. If you believe that he is, you can believe that he's a rewarder. Do you believe that he's a rewarder? He wants to reward, but he rewards pursuers. God designed us to pursue him. He loves being pursued. He loves being sought after. He loves being followed. Remember when Jesus walked by the lake? And there were some fishermen there. They had done fishing. They were casting, washing their nets. What did he say? He said, follow me. He didn't, that's all he said. What did they do? They dropped what they were doing. They started following him. He took these fishermen. It was Peter and Andrew, James and John. That's at least four. Peter had a fishing company, a partnership. He had boats. He had employees. But yet, he knew that following Jesus was more important than anything else. The most important thing you can do in life is follow God. The most important accomplishment you can ever have is doing God's will for your life. Doing God's will. God's got a plan for every one of us. Are you doing his plan? Are you pursuing his will? Paul, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. There's a high calling. High calling. It's the highest calling that you could ever respond to. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything yet be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul had a passion to experience the power of God, the resurrection power. He was a pursuer. He was a follower. He pursued the reward. Now, John 6, verses 43 and 45, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus said, no man can follow me except he be drawn. God initiated a relationship with every one of us. We were lost, but he came and he sought us out. He looked for you, and he called you by name. He called you out of darkness. And everyone here tonight, you heard his call and you came. And you came, you like, it's like a little boy, a little child running to Papa. You know, it's so funny sometimes when I'm away from the house and I come back and I walk in the room and Josiah goes, "Hi, Dada!" You know? That's how we need to be with God. Did you know that God is your Dada? The very essence of calling him Abba Father is calling him Daddy. You can sit on his lap. He can have fun with you. Listen, our God is fun. He is not a stick in the mud. He is not a grumpy old man. He is full of life. If he's the source of joy, he's got to be hilarious. And sometimes God tickles us by his spirit and makes us laugh. Amen? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm telling you some things of what you can pursue. We can pursue God's reward. Some people will never get rewarded because they never do anything for God. I encountered a guy here at this church many, many years ago. He was saved. He even got an inheritance that he didn't expect. And with that inheritance, he helped the church out. He bought us some new equipment at that time. But then he got this thought in his mind. He said, "I'm saved. I don't need anything else." He didn't think that there was anything else that he could experience in God. He didn't think there was anything else that he could have, any other benefit that he could enjoy. Well, you know, he's not here anymore because we're all about the benefits. If you don't like having benefits, you're not going to like being here too much, because I'm all about the benefits of God. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. "Know you not that they which run in a race run all?" You ever see a race where no one's running? How about a marathon? You know, where they sound the gun and there's a guy just there. Or a NASCAR race. When that, you know, when that green flag goes, there's someone there with just his engine revving, not hitting the gas. You know? He'd probably have to go to the pit crew because there's probably something wrong with the car. But here's what the Apostle Paul said. "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize." So he said, "Run that you may obtain." You've got to run like there's a prize. A race is reflective of your life. You've got to live like there's a prize to gain. Okay? He said, "Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things." The mastery is the master's plan for your life. That's what you were created for. Every one of us were created with a specific purpose in mind, in God's mind. God created each one of you. He designed every one of you. He put within you desires, gifts, abilities, talents. And he expects you to do those things, to pursue those things. Okay? "Run that you may obtain." He said, "Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things." What does it mean to be temperate? Discipline. Self-control. You mean I got it? What's your biggest enemy to you pursuing God? Yourself. Myself is my biggest enemy. Why do I say that that's my biggest enemy? Is myself been defeated yet? No, the devil's already been defeated, so he's no longer a threat. When you believe in Christ, you got to understand that you have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Do you have authority over all the power of the enemy? Amen. Then he's not your biggest enemy. If you're going to strive for the mastery, which is what God wants us to do, then we're going to have to be temperate in how many things? All things. Okay? And what's going to happen when you are temperate in all things? You're going to obtain an incorruptible crown, right? And notice what he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. In other words, Paul knew that he had a purpose for his life. And the way he lived his life on purpose for his purpose. He ate, drank, slept his purpose. Once he discovered what his purpose was, there was no stopping Paul from pursuing that purpose. You could put him in prison, and he'd get the prison saved. You could put him with kings, and he'd get the king saved. You could put him with a bunch of angry Jews, and he'd get some of them saved. It didn't matter where you put Paul, he lived his purpose. He pursued his purpose because that's the type of person he was. Once he knew what his purpose was, there was no stopping him. And guess what? Once you know what your purpose is, there should be no stopping you either. I keep thinking of Ross. How many used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard? You ever see the Dukes of Hazzard? Well, the sheriff. You know, I like him because I like to imitate him. Roscoe P. Coltrane. This is my dog, Flash. He had the little hound dog. And what happened? He'd always wait for the Duke boys to be passing where he was because they were running sometimes some illegal things. And when that General Lee would pass Roscoe P. Coltrane, he'd go, oh, Flash, he'd go, we're in hot pursuit. And he'd hit that gas, and he'd go after the Duke boys as fast as he could. That's how you need to go after God. When you have your sights on God and godliness, you got to go full steam ahead. Paul, he didn't beat the air. He didn't run as uncertainly. He said, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway means to be disqualified. God has rewards. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2, he said, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He was so excited to get into God's presence, he couldn't wait. He said, when shall I appear before God? Well, I tell you what, when your soul goes after God like you go after water, you can't go without water for 3 days. So every 3 days, you're going to have to get water, amen? You got to get water every day. Our bodies are mainly made up of water, mostly. There we go. Whew, that was a tough one. I'm talking about pursuing God. You are in a pursuit of God. And what you put in it is what you will get out of it. If you don't put anything in it, you won't get anything out of it because God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Do you know anybody that purposely starves themselves? We don't starve ourselves, do we? Not if we can help it. Amen? But so many people starve their spirits. You starve your spirit by not feeding it spiritual food. What is the food that your spirit eats? The Word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Bread, just like bread, natural bread sustains the body, spiritual bread sustains your spirit. Do you realize the life that you're living now, it's out of your spiritual life? And if your spirit is weak and wounded, it's going to be hard to sustain life. There's not going to come much life out of a wounded and an unsustained spirit. Has your spiritual tank been running on empty? When your spiritual tank is on empty, you're a prime target for the enemy. Paul, he said, I keep my body under. Notice, he and his body are two different things. He is talking about his spirit. His spirit was telling his body what to do. He brought it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Did you know that we're supposed to have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies? Do you enter the Holy of Holies every day? We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Has Jesus shed his blood? Then there is nothing stopping us from going into the Holy of Holies anytime that we want. What's in the Holy of Holies? It's the throne. It's where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's where you're going to find grace and obtain mercy when you need it. Amen? We can come into the Holy of Holies. But notice, even though we have access, you have an access to the backstage pass of God. You can go behind the scenes in God's presence anytime, anywhere, any place. It doesn't matter. Your pass is good. It has no expiration date. You can come in. You can enter in to the Holy of Holies, and you can fellowship with the Almighty. But sometimes there are natural things that hinder us from going there. You've got to, it's up to you to get beyond the veil. It's up to you to press in. Sometimes pursuing God means you got to press in. Sometimes a press isn't easy, like a drill press. You know, when you got to drill a hole in something, that drill press comes down. It puts pressure on that thing, and then the drill spins. As it puts pressure, the hole is drilled. Sometimes you got to put pressure on the natural things that are hindering you from the presence of God, from the goodness of God, from the glory of God, and you got to press in. You've got to pursue God in hot pursuit. You've got to go after God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 3. It's 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. 2014 needs to be a year of pursuit. Pursue godly goals. Pursue spiritual development. Pursue prosperity. Does God want you to prosper? It's there, but we've got to pursue it. Exodus 33. And let's go to verse 12. God and Moses were having a conversation. Now, Moses made it a practice to enter into God's presence daily. He actually had set up a tent that was outside of the camp, away from distractions. Away, and he would have to leave his tent, and he would have to go into this tent that he set up. It was his office, really. It was called the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle means the meeting place. Amen? Moses had a special place where he would go every day and he would meet with God. Okay? And Moses and God are having this conversation. And the Lord was speaking to Moses as a man speaks to his friend, face to face. They were having a face to face conversation. And in verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, you say unto me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me, yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. You know what? Whenever you speak to God, always remind him of what he said. God knows what he said, and he doesn't mind being reminded of what he said. That's how much God loves his word. See, Moses knew what God said, okay? Verse 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you." Well, I thought Moses knew God. I thought he experienced miracles. I thought he had achieved the Christian dream. You know, if ever there was someone who was walking with God, it was Moses. But I want you to notice, he wasn't satisfied. He didn't accept where he didn't want to stay where he was. He wanted more. He was in hot pursuit of God. He said, "Show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find my that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Isn't that encouraging? To know that God's presence is going to go with you and give you rest. Amen. And he said unto him, "If your presence goes not with me, carry us up." Don't carry us up from here. I like Moses. He said, "I'm not going to go anywhere. The presence isn't going to go." He said, "If your presence isn't going to go, I'm staying right here." Moses had a desire for God's presence. He had a hunger for holiness. What happens when you hunger for things of God? What does the Bible say to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? You shall be filled. All it takes to be filled is to have a hunger, to have a desire, and to go after that desire. You're hungry for God? Then come. You're hungry for God? Then go get it. Amen. God's ringing the bell. Come and get it. He's already prepared a meal. He's established a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That means you can focus more on God than your enemies. Too many of us are spending too much time focusing on what the enemy's doing. Who cares what the enemy's doing? He's defeated. If he's why are you focusing so much on a defeated foe? Moving on. For wherein, verse 16, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Listen, when you're pursuing God, he will take care of your enemies. All you got to do is chase after God, and he'll take care of the problems. Amen? He'll take care of everything else. And then he said in verse 17, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken." Do you see how God responds to our pursuit? Moses declared to God, he said, "I want to know your way. I want to see your glory." And you know, notice God didn't say, "Well, Moses, that's not going to happen." See, God will respond positively to your pursuit. You want to go after God? He'll say, "Come on." He'll be like this. "I'll catch you. Even if you fall, I'll lift you up." Isn't God called the glory and the lifter of our heads? When you stumble and fall, he will lift you up. He'll brush off the dust. And he'll say, now keep on going on. And then God tells Moses, he said, "For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And verse 18, and he said, "I beseech you, show me your glory." Can you see Moses' hunger? You think Moses would have saw enough? Walking through the Red Sea, eating quail, drinking water from a rock, all that stuff. But Moses wasn't satisfied. Moses knew that there was more. He said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Moses was pursuing God. And this is how you and I need to pursue God. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. When you pursue God, God reserves a place by him. He's got a place reserved for you by him. But it's going to require you to pursue him. And it shall come to pass, he said, you'll stand upon a rock. Verse 22, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Moses expressed a desire to see God's glory, and God showed him the glory that he could handle. Amen? God was ready. God is ready to reveal himself to us. God is ready to manifest himself to us. He said, if you love me, and if you love my commandments, he said, you'll be loved by my Father. And me and my Father, we will manifest ourselves unto you. God wants to manifest, but he manifests himself to those who pursue him, to those who go after him, to those who follow him. Go with me to Matthew 16, and I'm going to close there for tonight. Now, there is a cost to pursuing God. And when some people find out what it costs, they don't pursue. It's no different than you going into a store, seeing something that you like, and then you look at the price tag. And then you look at your pocketbook and you say, the price tag and my pocketbook, they just do not line up. And what do you do when you encounter something that costs too much? You don't get it, do you? All right? Now, you got to be willing to pay the cost to pursue God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and we're going to close with this tonight. 24 to 28. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any person will pursue me, if any person will set their affections on me, what does he say? Let him deny himself. See, if you want to pursue God, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny yourself some pleasures. You're going to have to deny yourself some time. You're going to have to deny yourself some things. Because there is something greater. There is something more valuable. There is something more priceless to pursue than yourself. Now, you could pursue yourself, but you're not going to get anything out of it. But when you put yourself aside, when you sacrifice yourself and you put your sights on something greater, you're going to get a greater reward. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cost of pursuing God is denying self, saying no to self. Just say no. Just say no. For whosoever will save his life. The rich young ruler didn't want to lose his life, did he? The Pharisees, they didn't want to lose their religious life, did they? Because some of the Pharisees, if they accepted Jesus, they'd get kicked out of the synagogue. They'd lose their position. Oh my gosh, my precious position. I can't give up my position for Christ. Yeah, then you don't get much of a reward. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? If men praise you, that's your reward. Ooh. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you try to hold on to the life, the things that you know, the things that you love, then you're leaving something else out. You're putting self first and you're putting God second. You're going to end up losing your life. But then he said, for whosoever who will lose his life, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, what's going to happen? You're going to find it. Are you ready to make an exchange tonight? Exchange your life for his life. Which would you rather have, your life or the divine life? Your life or a blessed life? Your life or a healed life? But you got to be willing to exchange. Tonight, we're having an exchange department. Customer service is open. Amen? For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is worth more than the whole world. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. What you pursued in life will be rewarded accordingly. People who pursue flesh and fleshly pleasures, they're going to get their reward. People who pursue spiritual pleasures and spiritual things, they're going to get their reward. Our works are what we do. What you do is a reflection of what you pursue. What you do is a reflection of who you're focused on and what you're focused on. Verily, I say unto you, verse 28, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So you're here tonight on a Wednesday night, on a cold Wednesday night, when you could be doing something else. You're here listening to the Word of God, praising God, because I believe that you love him. I believe that you came hungry, and I believe that you're going to find great satisfaction in God, in the things of God. Amen? There are times that God just wants to wrap his arms around you and love you. Nothing can compare with God's presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. There's no shortage of joy. There's fullness of joy. Okay? At his right hand, the Bible says in Psalm 16, there are pleasures forevermore. God wants you to know something, that he loves you. He wants you to rest secured. Just sit there. He just wants you to rest secured in knowing that your Heavenly Father loves you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray right now that she's rooted and grounded in your love. And that right now in this moment, Father, she experiences a love like she's never experienced before in Jesus' name. Because his love heals, his love makes whole, his love brings peace. You're experiencing the peace that passes understanding right now because you have a Father that loves you. And your Father loves you. And his will and his desire for you is to be whole, 100%. Be whole. Be whole in him. Be whole. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Father, I command in the name of Jesus the peace of God to come in. Jehovah Shalom is entering into your life, into your heart right now. And he's making everything whole. 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 In Jesus' name. His will for you is wholeness. I command every broken thing to be repaired and to be made new in the name of Jesus. And maybe you're here tonight. young people, don't wait to pursue God. Don't wait to get into the Word. You better start getting in the Word now. You better fall in love with Jesus now. The more you love Him, the better things are. Doesn't mean things are going to be rosy or peachy. It just means that in Him, they're better. In Him, you have someone to help you through things. Fall in love with Jesus now. Start pursuing God now. Set your minds on things above, not on things beneath. Quit looking at here and start looking there. Quit looking outside and start looking inside. And go after God. Run for the prize. Jesus is your prize. Do you realize that the tribe of Levi, he told them in Numbers 18, he said, you are not getting an inheritance. But you know what he told them? He said, I'm going to be your portion. That made the tribe of Levi, richer than any other tribe, because in Jesus Christ, they have everything they need, want, and desire. If you need provision, He's your provider. If God is moving on your heart right now, I want you to come up here. And I want you to pursue God. I want you to praise Him. I want you to cry out to Him. I want you to run after Him. I want you to search for Him. I want you to lift your hands toward Him. If the Lord is moving on your heart right now, I want you to come and activate that in the name of Jesus. Come and pursue God. Come and meet with Him. Come and fellowship with Him. Remember, pursuit is an active thing. It's a spiritual activity. You got to come after it. You got to go after it. You got to seek it out. You got to search it out. You got to search for it like treasure. You got to come in faith knowing that God's going to meet you right where you are. You're here tonight and you're hungry and you're thirsty for righteousness. You want to have more knowledge about God. You want to know more things about His kingdom. You want to know more about how His kingdom works, about what He likes and what He doesn't like. May the Holy Ghost tonight inspire you to come in the name of Jesus. Come and drink of the new wine. Come and drink in of His Spirit. Come and drink. Come and dine. Come and grab a hold of eternal life. Come and get what He's already been given to you. Come and pursue God. Get wild and crazy about going after God. Forget about who's around you. Forget about what's happened this week. This moment is God's. Set your eyes on Him. Set your focus on Him. Nothing else matters. But this moment, this is a divine moment where God can make a grace deposit into your heart. He can put some things in there that no one else can put in there. I don't feel led to lay hands on you. I believe the Holy Ghost is already working on you. Because if you come hungry, He will satisfy that need. But you got to come. You want more of God, you got to come. You got to get out of your seat, you got to come. You got to drink it in, you got to come. You got to come into His presence. You got to come before the throne of God. You got to pursue Him with all your heart. Not your head, but your heart. To thine own heart be true. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You right now for moving by Your Holy Spirit and connecting with these, Lord. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Your word says, Lord, that they shall be filled. So I thank You right now that everyone that comes tonight, everyone that comes up shall be filled to overflowing in the name of Jesus. They shall be touched by the Master. They shall have a divine encounter of Your holy presence in the name of Jesus. If you can pray in tongues, pray in tongues. That helps you get more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. You build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit.